Well, good evening. I'm glad to be with you this evening. My name is Mark, and if you need my attention, just raise your hand and I'll talk to you. I am just kind of get you maybe used to a little different. I'm not a preacher. I'm a teacher, so I can't stand behind a pulpit. It just doesn't work for me. Walking around is what does it, you know, and being with everyone. So I'll be moving around a little bit, but I want to talk to you tonight. And I just want to start by saying, I'm not an expert in technology, okay? I'm a self-taught, you know, one of those kind of guys who I learned it because I enjoyed it and it wasn't necessarily something I was trained in. I became a parent and a teacher and I was concerned about kids, so I started worrying about internet safety and I educated myself. And I think that's what we have to do as parents and as grandparents and all of those things. We have to educate ourselves as to what's going on. The problem is, things are changing so fast now that it is just almost impossible to keep up with everything. And so, in my family at least, I have learned that these are the things that we use. These are the things I want to make sure I know. There are some things, though, that go basic across the spectrum for everyone. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Let's see, I probably have to turn this thing on or something, don't I? It is on. There we go. All right, that works. Good. First of all, you know, we talk about internet filters and things like that. As Christians, there should be a filter anyway. And when we look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, we know that whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise, we need to think on these things. And I want to start by saying the internet in general is not bad. In fact, I love it. I think it's one of the greatest things around, you know, because you can find about anything you want to know, whether it's Bible or history or whatever it is, you can find it there. I can talk to my kids face to face in Searcy, Arkansas, and that's wonderful, and I love it. And so I want to start by saying this isn't all bad, and sometimes we start talking about what's wrong, and we forget there are some great things too. And so I don't want to cut out the great things because we're going to talk about some things that are problems. Think about this for a second, and again, those who are born after 1990, which my oldest son is a junior in college, and he was born in 92, but they've grown up in this world. And they've been connected. 97% of them play video games. 75% have cell phones. 68% use some kind of messenger. 70% do social networking. And they adapt easy. And they can actually generate their own content. Not only that, they don't have a problem having this huge social presence. You know, for a lot of us who are older, we don't feel comfortable necessarily with this huge public persona thing that everybody's talking about. And, you know, I'm maybe a little bit more of a private person, but the kids, they've grown up and it's just out there. And it's no big deal, and they're comfortable with it. And, you know, it's kind of like for me, my father-in-law, a lot of you guys know who he is, Charles Abbey, he will not bank online. And I bank online. I feel comfortable with that. And probably some of you who are older understand that feeling. You don't want to give that up. I try to explain to him, you know, when you swipe your card at Walmart, it goes on the internet. When you put your number in at home, it goes on the internet. You know, it's the same. It's just a little bit different way of doing it. But anyway, just something, you know, they're comfortable with that, though. We're not always comfortable with that. And so there are some risks. Cyberbullying, exposure to inappropriate content. And I'll tell you, you know, as a man and as a husband, you know, it happens to everybody, unfortunately. And if you're on the internet, at some point you're going to search something and something's going to come up that's like, oh my, and you know, and it's unfortunate. By the way, just so you know, a couple terms. You guys heard of farming, I'm not talking about farming as in with an F, it's a PH. What they do is they'll take a name that everyone knows and they'll take the most common misspelling and they'll use that to make a new website that's inappropriate. And they do those kind of things. And anyway, so those kind of things. Online predators, posting personal or inappropriate information, and sexting. And we'll talk about, hopefully, each of those things. I want to talk to parents just for a little bit, and I also want to talk to the younger generation, too, because I think it's important for us to know. For the younger children, those of you who have children who are younger, these are the things that I would start as early as you can, and that is netiquette. How to, you know, that's etiquette on the Internet. And talking to them about that. Looking at inappropriate content. Pop-ups and passwords. You know, passwords, and I'll get into this. Well, we might as well go ahead and hit this. Passwords, you need to be careful. You know, if I am in junior high, and I'm going to graduate in 2018, and I put my username as Mark18, now somebody who sees that knows what about me? They know my age and they know my name. And so those are the kind of things, you know, you want to be careful with using inappropriate, you know, those kind of, giving up that kind of information. Not trusting people you meet online, of course. And hopefully, you know, you can talk, you have to talk, though. It's something we have to be doing regularly. For tweens and teens, the four things that I try to hit with them are cyberbullying, sexting, posting personal and inappropriate information, and online predators. I think I just hit the wrong button. There we go. So first, let's talk about revealing too much, because sometimes revealing too much will lead to some of the other things. Okay? So looking at that, what's okay? Pictures of family and friends. You guys, how many of you have a Facebook page? All right. How many grandparents have a Facebook page? All right. And you talk to your grandkids and all. Good. I'm glad to hear that. I like that. Casual conversation in a game is okay. What's not okay? Personal information. You know, we shouldn't be giving out names, addresses, phone numbers. And unfortunately, people come up with ways of getting this information. And we call that, instead of farming, we call it phishing with a PH. And giving up too much, we want to, the problem with giving up too much information, it spreads quick. You know, sometimes you think when you're at church and you tell somebody something, and pretty soon the whole church knows it real quick. You know how that goes sometimes? Well, on the Internet, just quadrupled it 1,000 times, and it's everywhere. And so we have to be careful about those things. The other thing that's really serious to me is that anything you put on the Internet is permanent. And I'm going to give you an example of that. Just as I was doing this, I thought, okay, I want to pull up Camden Avenue's old website. And I did it. This is from 2007. Okay? That tells who was teaching the classes, all that. Now, I'm sure that whoever posted that website took it down and that's gone. But I can still get there. And anybody can still get there. And so anything you put on the Internet is there. And it's there for good. And unfortunately, when you start talking about wanting to get a scholarship to go to college, wanting to get a job in your future, what you posted when you were in high school can come back to haunt you. And so we have to be very careful about those things. So, personal information, passwords, location, school, address, and phone number. Let me say something. I want to go quickly because I'm going to run out of time. I have too much to cover in too short of a time, but that's okay. Location has become a big issue. There are, like, people who carry their iPhone around. If they take a picture, it's coded, unless they turn it off, with the location where they took that picture. They put it on Facebook, and now people know where they are. Okay? And so that has to be turned off. And I would say, and parents, I would say that's one of the things that I would check to be sure that when you look at your child's Facebook page, look at the map and see if it shows everywhere they've been. Because someone else can get onto that page and see everywhere else your child has been as well. And so that's one of those things that I would suggest strongly that you turn that off. The geolocation, they call it, or the GPS part of that when you're posting on the internet and on Facebook and those things. One more thing I do want to say, and I know this, Facebook is kind of starting to become outdated for the younger generation. It's now the old people like us and the people who are in college now, they get on Facebook once a month to see what's going on, but they don't really spend a lot of time on Facebook. They have other things now, like Instagram and things like that they're doing, and they're not so much on Facebook. And so we need to be aware of that, too, as parents. It changes, and it's going to change regularly. What's coming up next? You know, of course, Twitter is also a big one, and a lot of tweeting going on. But anything like this, school, you know, address, phone number, all of those things, giving up that kind of information. So parents, establish rules about what they can share, learn about reporting options, help them set privacy settings, especially for the younger ones. By the way, Facebook automatically, if you're under 18, won't share some things. So that's good, but if they put the wrong birth date in, then it will. So you just have to look at that. Help them create strong passwords. Don't use the same password for everything. And that's the easy way to do it, I know, but if they find one password, they've got you on everything. You know, hey, if they break into my Facebook, now all of a sudden they have my bank account too. You know, that's not a good idea. So you want to be careful about that. Talk about your friends list as well. You know, I kind of get the idea that Jesus had about 12 to 20 good friends that he spent time with. And he knew, you know, to have a million friends, just not a good idea. Anyway, be careful about those things as well. And again, I think, you know, family and friends, you ought to be looking at your child's friend list. If you don't know them, you need, you know, it's just like if they were coming to your house, you want to know who their friends are. So just be aware of that as well. Establish expectation for online behavior, consequences for inappropriate posts, things like that. All of those things are important. And I'm going to kind of go through this fairly quickly. Also, teens and tweens have a different password for each account. We talked about that. Use privacy settings. Remember who you friend. Limit access to your location, and I mentioned that earlier. Look for the lock symbol or HTTPS. The lock symbol on a lot of the new browsers now doesn't really appear the way it used to, but you can see HTTPS for secure in the address and know that it's a secure site. Don't share others' personal information, and don't share passwords. Now, we have a thing. I will suggest that, parents, it's a good thing for you to know your kid's password for social networking sites. We'll talk about cell phones in a while, in a little bit, but, you know, I bought my kids' cell phones, and I pay for them every month. It's my cell phone. And you know what? If I need to look at their cell phone, I'm going to look at their cell phone. And sometimes we think we're invading privacy when we do that, but you know what? So be it. You know, there's things more important than that. And I have parents who complain that, you know, all their friends' parents think that we're too strict. Well, guess what? That's part of being a Christian parent. And people are always going to think you're too strict. So get over it. What else can we say? All right. So, just some things for teens to think about as they're going online. How does it impact my future? All of those different things. By the way, if you ever see a website that says you want an iPad, it's a trap. Don't do it. And little kids tend to do that. You know, I remember when this first started happening, even the junior high kids, you know, they were, oh, I just want to, you know, and they want to click on it. Well, they're fishing. They're trying to get more information. I had read one story where a child clicked on it, and then it came up with a warning, the FBI, some kind of FBI warning. And what happened, the parents knew it was, of course, they were phishing and trick, but what happened was it brought in a system and let the person take a picture of their child. And so just be aware of those kind of things. Don't do that. How about, let's talk about predators for a minute, because that is something that's very important. You know, a lot of times we think about it being old men and pedophiles, and they're pretending to be younger, and they come and get kids from their home. Those happen, but that's not the predominant thing. Mostly, most predators are men, age 26 or older. They're generally not pedophiles. Rarely lie about being adult. They usually go ahead and tell them now. And they usually don't abduct them. Their victims, 13 to 15-year-olds, mostly girls, 25% of boys. History of sexual or physical abuse, they're looking for those kind of people because they know they're vulnerable. They engage in patterns of risky behavior. How do they find those kids? Well, they look at what they post online. You know, look at their Facebook page. What kind of pictures are they posting? What are they doing? And they look. They have it all figured out. And they're looking for that kind of girl or young boy to become their victim. They're, like I said, usually male. They're honest about being adults. They target both males and females. They're usually clear about their intentions. And their intentions are they want to go be with you, basically to have sex. And they usually will let that be known to the child now. Now, are all of them like that? No. But they look for certain things online. I want to play a video for you, and I'm going to ask, would you please, you just have to put the mouse on the video, and I think it'll show up there down at the bottom, and click play. I just want to listen to this just for a minute. We have no sound, do we? Never mind. We'll skip the video then. I'm sorry. This is a young girl who talks about her experience as a predator. And so I apologize for that. But she goes through and talks about how basically, this guy became her best friend. But then, of course, they finally met. And he took pictures, and now he just blackmails her. Because if she doesn't do what he wants, then he's going to release those pictures. And so now he controls her. He was thrown in prison, and even from prison, he has written her notes talking about if he gets out, he's going to kill her. And it's pretty sad. But anyway, those kind of things happen, unfortunately. Signs of grooming. And grooming is getting them prepared for this. If your child is receiving gifts, call from unknown numbers. If they're rejecting their friends and family, that could be a sign. Getting upset when not online. They want to be online so they can talk to them. They always, as soon as you walk in the room, they minimize their computer. They shut it down. You know, those kind of things are signs that something is possibly going on. For those of you who are younger, they want to make you feel good about yourself. They tell you how beautiful you are. They tell you everything. They send you gifts. They want to talk to you about adult subjects, ask you to keep secrets, see if you're willing to do that. They turn you against your family and friends, and they want you to share photos of yourself. And, of course, then they will blackmail you with that. So what do? Again, it comes down to we have to be talking to our kids about this. And Set a policy about meeting offline for older teens. Know your child's online friends. Teach your child the warning signs. And then call the police. And you've got to do that. And there's also cybertipline.com, which is also another place that you can go. I want to give you some more information. While I'm thinking about it, we're going to talk about sexting too. I have, and I'm not a salesperson, but this is something, this is from Focus on the Family. And of course, do I agree with 100% of everything that's in the magazine every time? No, but this is called Thriving Family. And they have different ideas for every age group about things. Some months it's about the internet, some months it's about movies, some months it's about gaming, it's different things all the time. And anyway, a good magazine, if you're interested in taking a look at it, feel free after class is over to come up and take a look at it, because we have used it a lot in my family. Sexting. Sexting is sending or posting nude or partially nude images. And this is one of those subjects that's hard to talk about in church. And I understand that, but I think it's something we still have to talk about. And even though it's not comfortable, it's something we need to talk to our kids about. And 4% of teens say they have sexted, and 15 say they've received some kind of sexting text before. I've been told that percentage is higher than that now, and it's unfortunate. But why are they sexting? Some of them think it's funny. Some of them want to impress somebody they like, or they share it with a boyfriend or girlfriend. The problem is, of course, as teenagers, especially in junior high where I teach, you know, this week they're in love and it's going to be forever, and next week it's somebody else, you know. And so it happens too fast. And, of course, because the internet thing spreads so fast, and because cell phones, it spreads so fast, you know, it's just humiliating. They bully people. They blackmail people. You can get in, of course, a lot of school problems, too. And police involvement. Let me say something about this real quick, parents. If your child is sent a text that's sexting, you do not have them forward it to your phone. Because then you are in possession of child pornography. And you cannot have that on your phone. Okay? Now, it's going to be different when it's bullying. If it's bullying, you want them to send it to your phone. Because you want to have documentation. When it's sexting, you cannot have that on your phone. Okay? So, you don't want them to do that. You want to delete it. You want to report it, and you want to delete it. Do not send it anywhere, because, of course, they have the records. If you send it to anyone, teens, if you get a sexting text, you cannot send it to someone. Because if you send it to someone, you can be arrested. Okay? I'm serious. They will arrest you. And I've seen it happen. You just cannot send it to anyone. You need to delete it. Okay? And so, I can't say that enough. We need to talk about the consequences. And again, remember, things are never truly gone. Tell them never to forward a sexting image. Discuss healthy sexual relationships. Okay, all of those things. We have to report it, though. And sexting is one of those things where, as a teacher, you know, this is one of the things we have to be trained on, and they talk about this all the time. You cannot have anything like that on your phone, okay? It just can't happen. And if you get sent a message, you have to delete it. You need to report it, and because it will be traced to you when it's found out, okay? So you have to be aware of that. Don't take images of yourself, of course. Don't forward anyone else's images. And that's one of the things I don't quite understand. It really kind of disappoints me sometimes. And that is when I get on Facebook and I see some of the teens, and unfortunately sometimes even teens who are members of the church, and they have pictures where they're posing, and maybe it doesn't show something, but they're definitely trying to look sexy. And it's unfortunate that that's happening. And parents, we have to be watching for those kind of things as well. But we do. People will put pressure on boys and girls to do these things. We need to make sure that we have that filter and that we won't let that come to us. All right. And again, I'm going hopefully pretty quick. This does end at 9 o'clock, right? Okay. Anyway, here are a few people. Cyberbullying, I want to mention, and these are well-known people who've been in the news, and some of them, I really don't want to read a whole lot about it, but some of these are because of bullying. Some of these have gotten bullied because they were sexting first, and then they were blackmailed, but all of these, because of bullying, cyberbullying, committed suicide. Now, most cyberbullying does not end in suicide, but it happens. And unfortunately, there's a big difference. You know, bullying in school, I remember growing up being, everybody was bullied a little bit, and I felt like, in a sense, growing up, it probably made me a little tougher. But this is different. And this is something you can't get away from. You know, when I was bullied in school, I could go home or I could punch the kid. Didn't say that. and it would be done with. Cyberbullying, it's never done. And it will just hurt and hurt and hurt. And unfortunately, sometimes it leads to the suicide. And so what are examples of cyberbullying? I put some up there. Sending mean texts, photoshopping pictures to make things look like they're really not, creating fake profiles of people, posting fight videos, spreading rumors and gossip, posting embarrassing pictures, or sending threatening or harassing comments. Of course, that's not a full list, but those are some ideas there. It spreads faster, it has a bigger audience, and it follows them home. At least if somebody's picking on me, I could go home. They can't even go home because it's still there. And so, some signs, kind of like I had before. They stop wanting to use the computer or the cell phone. Before it was, they couldn't stand to not be on the computer. Here, they don't want to. They want to stay away from it if they can. They act nervous when receiving an email or a text. They seem uneasy about going to school, and they withdraw. So what do we do? With this one, we have to save the evidence here. Okay, so if they have someone bullying, you want to save it. You can call, a lot of times, cell phone companies. Some will block for you. And you can block numbers with some types of phones. Set up new accounts. Talk to your school. You got to report it. Okay? If somebody is a bully, here's some of the things that they will do. They switch screens or close programs. They use the computer at all hours. They get unusually upset if they can't use the computer. Laughs excessively while online, avoids discussions about what they're doing, and uses multiple online accounts. So what do? We establish, again, expectations. We have to be able to talk to our kids, set consequences for cyberbullying, model good online behavior. Unfortunately, we have to talk to our kids, too, about not being a bully. So what do we do if one of our friends is being bullied?
I'm just going to skip that. First of all, if you are being bullied, don't respond. Okay? Teens, don't even give them the time of day. Block the bully, save the evidence, set up a new account, make a report, talk to an adult. And I think I already mentioned all of that. If you know your friend is being bullied, you need to do something too. You know, I think as Christians, we've got to stand up for one another. And for others as well. Show them love. Don't encourage bullying behavior. Don't participate. Stand up for the victim. Report it. If somebody sends you a text that has bullying in it, don't pass it on. Don't comment on it. Don't do anything. Don't forward rumors or embarrassing photos. Don't comment on insulting or harassing posts. Treat others with respect. And I think that's the thing there that we want to make sure. Okay, so cyberbullying. And I kind of went through that fast. I have 2 minutes, so I want to kind of get finished here. Smartphones. There are so many things there. I want to say a couple things. I'm old-fashioned. This is my son, Nathan. Nathan, hold up your phone. It's not a smartphone. And that's on purpose. And, oh, man, some teens would be upset, wouldn't they? They wouldn't like that. Yeah. Here's the thing. Almost everywhere I go and everywhere he goes, there's Wi-Fi. I don't see a reason to pay for the extra, first of all. One thing that really bothers me about the smartphones, too, is the fact that a lot of times they're set automatically to tell where you are. You know, and of course you have to turn that off, and a lot of people don't know and don't even worry about it. And so there's a lot of things there. And again, I'm not against smartphones. Don't get me wrong, okay? You guys can keep your smartphones. If your parents want you to, anyway. But, you know, we have decided, that's one of the decisions we made. I don't even have a smartphone. Mine's still dumb. But I carry around my, when I need Wi-Fi, you know, I'll use my iPad or whatever it is like that. Parents, don't be afraid to check the history. I had a rule until my son got in college that I deleted his text. He didn't delete his text. His friends knew that I read his text. And they knew that if they texted something inappropriate, I would know it. Now, did I check every text he ever had? No, I didn't do that. For a while, I did. But as he got older, you know, there would be some times I'd pick it up and I'd just delete them. There'd be another time I'd pick it up and I'd read a few of them. I usually checked at least to see who he was talking to, even if I didn't check what he was talking about. And I had all his friends in school. That probably helped too. And they knew Mr. Dottie, and they knew my expectations in my class for language and everything else. And so they learned. And I don't know, you'll have to talk to him about how bad it was. But he lived through it. And, you know, he's doing fine. And anyway, just be a parent, however it has to be. And you know your kids. And I trusted my boys, but you know, as a teenager, hey, I make mistakes. Why not take care of it while you can, at least help them, you know, go in the right direction. We have a policy, we don't use a phone at our table. I think a good policy is that you don't have the internet at all in bedrooms. That means they need to leave their cell phone, if they have a smartphone, on the counter when they go up to bed or whatever it is. They need to sleep. And so, and I know probably some of the teens don't like hearing that. But you know, they'll live. I made it somehow without a cell phone, you know. And they can go from whatever time it is at night that you decide is bedtime until whatever time in the morning they have to get up. They will live. In fact, they might be more awake. Who knows? But we as parents have to be the parent. And, you know, there's things out there that you can get to monitor. When they got on the internet, you can have it email you and tell you where you're going if you have a problem. And if I felt like I was having a problem, I would do it in a heartbeat. And Nathan knew that. You know, I'm just strong-willed enough to do those kind of things. And really, isn't that what, you know, you have to be, you have to love your child enough to let them hate you for a little bit. And it will happen sometimes. And, you know, teens, let me say this, that if your parents are checking on you, it's because they love you. And I hope you guys know that. And they want what's best for you. And you just say, you know, you just got to nod your head and say, okay, I love you too. You know? And go on, because it is something that, you know, we have to do, and we have to help our kids get to heaven. That's the number one goal. And we have to have, and I'm going to go forward just a little bit. I think I went the wrong way. We have to have that filter in our house, in our brain, in our hearts, that tell us that we're only going to think about these things. My time is way up, and I'm sorry. Anybody have any questions before I go? And I didn't. I meant to ask you guys some questions, and I knew I was going to run short of time, so I kind of flew through some things. But anyway, if you want to talk to me, come on down. Otherwise, have a good evening. Thank you for letting me come. I appreciate it.
With. We thank you for giving us things that can help us make our lives easier. Help us as we use those tools to use them for good. Help us to protect our children and our grandchildren. Help us to be the kind of parents and grandparents and role models that we should be. Thank you for all the blessings you bless us with. In Jesus' name, amen.